Well, it's always a delight to me to share some of the things that I've learned about the Scriptures, and I find that I continue to learn the depths of the riches of this Word keep going on. And as many of us know, the older we get, the more meaningful some of these passages become. We were talking earlier in the week about what I ought to talk about. And I told Dr. LaHaye that I've been thinking about this matter of self-control. I talk to lots of people who come to me because they're disturbed, they're upset, they're unhappy. Those are some of the symptoms that they bring me. People don't come around because they are happy. You know, I've come to make an appointment to see you to tell you how well I'm getting on, and how delighted I am with life. That's never happened to me. Now, one of the objectives that most of us have, I think, is to lead a happy life. I can remember saying to myself when I was growing up, I used to say some of the sassiest things to my mother, and I would make up my mind that I'm never going to say another sharp thing again. But she had a way of calling me Henry, you know, and that just like that turned me into an angry fella, just like that. I remember hoping I'd get rid of her someday. And but then I had a boss, and this boss would call me a lot like my mother. Grant, he'd say. And just in one word, that's all it took. It would just make me furious. I was talking to a lady this week who is under a lot of tension, and I was trying to tell her that peace comes from God, and that she could yield herself to the peace of God. And she was telling me that she doesn't need God. Well, she got a telephone call. Mind you, this is somebody in San Diego. She got a telephone call from Chicago. And they got in a fight over the phone. And so she slammed down the receiver, and she was storming around the house and got herself so worked up that she had to take a tranquilizer in order to get to sleep. Now, just imagine that, being subject here to what somebody said to you who's in Chicago. Isn't that sad? So how do you get to the place where you are in control of your own life? I think that's a question a lot of us have, isn't it? I live in Florida now, where there are many retired people. And I talk to lots of these folks, and they're Christians. And you know, across the years, we've been talking about the fact that our hope and our security is by putting our faith in the Lord. And now, in these uncertain days, when stocks plummet, and you know what I'm discovering? That a lot of these people have really put their faith in their stocks. And put their faith in a building, or put their faith in a retirement plan, and the retirement plan is dwindling. And I think we can realize that this is not where your joy and your peace and your happiness comes from. So we struggle, don't we? Trying to find a sure source of hope, a sure source of peace, a sure source of contentment. And where do we find it? As this lady was telling me, she doesn't need anybody. She can control herself, and yet A telephone call makes it very obviously her own inner serenity is at the mercy of what other people say and do, and at the mercy of the circumstances around us. And we've all had this experience, have we not? And so I just want to call your attention to this passage of Scripture in the 7th chapter of Romans, starting with the 19th verse. Mind you, what I'm trying to say is that we are struggling, most of us, with finding a sure source of peace and hope. In the 19th verse, it says, "The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So that I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. Now let me call your attention to another Bible verse. It's in Colossians 1:11. It talks here about a source of power. See, in Romans, we are saying, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And the answer is, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in this passage, in Colossians 1:11, it tells us that we can be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Now, what is this power? What can we expect from Him if we yield ourselves to Him? How can you expect to be predictable? And I'm telling you very simply what the answer is. It's yielding ourselves to Him, which is something that we can do. But what for? What are we yielding ourselves to Him for? And it goes on to tell us here that we can be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joy. I'll never forget this little story. I was in Dallas, Texas, and at Expo 72, and we were in this huge stadium, getting ready for a rally, and there is a lady sitting next to me, and this lady recognized me. And she began probing me because she was telling me she was so glad to be sitting beside me because she is so disturbed. And one of the reasons why she is so disturbed is that she has a son. And right at this time, her son had run away from home. He was about 18 years old, and he was living in an apartment, and the apartment was a dump, dirty, filthy place. He was living there with a bunch of fellas and some girls, and they were fooling around with dope and fooling around with liquor, and she had lost her joy. And she was asking me if I could help her. And could I help her with her boy? Well, my question was, how come your boy is there? If you don't like him there, why do you let him be there? Why don't you go get him? And that led to another elaboration of this. The reason that she thought he was there was because she and her husband were fighting about how to treat this boy. Now, you know, one of the basic principles in the scriptures is that we ought to be like-minded, isn't it? The advice that the Apostle Paul gave to the Philippians in the second chapter of Philippians, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord, and of one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, you know, one of the definitions of sin in the scriptures is that sin is a transgression of the law. Now, here's a lady and her husband who were transgressing the law. In the seventh chapter of Romans, we were saying that the reason that you don't do what you want to do is because of sin. And if sin is transgression of the law, and if here is a man and a woman, and they can't get together on how to raise those children, these people are practicing sin. Would you buy that? This is what I had to try to tell this lady. You see, I can see two things that are wrong with you. There are two reasons why you can't control yourself. There are two reasons why you are always upset. See, she doesn't want to be upset, but she's saying that the reason she's upset is because her son is in a pad. And I was trying to say, no, that's not why you're upset. Your son's choices are simply revealing something about you. And you aren't walking in the Spirit. You see, your son's choices make that obvious. Now, another thing, your relationship to your husband makes that obvious. So I tried to say there are two things that have to happen to you before you're going to do anything about your son. You're going to have to deal with your own sin. You are consciously and knowingly and deliberately at odds with your husband. And that's what she told me. Every time she and her husband talk about this boy, they get in a fight. And this is very clear here in Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. You see, she figures that her thinking is obviously the way things should go. You know, don't you think that way? You think so clearly. Isn't it amazing that your partner wouldn't see things the way you do? Well, this is the way she felt about him. Very impatient with him and very disgusted with him because every time they talked about that boy, they would get in a fight. And so I'm trying to concentrate on what's going on in this stadium. And she's pouring out her heart to me about how unhappy she is. You see, she wants to be happy, but she can't. The good that I do, would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. She doesn't want to fight with her husband, but she does. She doesn't want to be miserable, but she is. Well, I tried to say to her, you've got to repent of your own sins. You see, you are an angry, impatient, stubborn lady. Well, she didn't like that. But you know, a diagnosis is not very palatable anyway. If you've ever been to a physician and the physician hands you a prescription that's going to cost you $15 or $20 to fill, it doesn't make you very happy either, does it? If a physician announces that you need to have an operation, that's not good news, but it's important news, even if you don't like it. And so this lady needed to hear the truth, because it's the truth that's keeping her from achieving what she really wants to achieve: serenity, happiness, joy. And you see, her idea is that if I could just get my husband straightened out, and if I could just get my son straightened out, all would be joyful. And I tried to say, the first thing that has to happen to you is that you've got to get happy. After all, her husband comes home to this miserable, weepy woman. Now, who wants to come home to a miserable, weepy, complaining woman? So I tried to tell her, if you want to get anywhere with your husband, the first thing you got to do is get happy. And how do you do that? You confess your own sins. You let the Lord cleanse you of your own sins. And the next thing you're going to have to do is quit fighting with your husband. Well, that was the end of that, because the program had started and I really wanted to listen to the program. And so, but you know, a couple of weeks later I got a phone call from this lady. Mind you, I live in Michigan, she lives in Florida. And this was her husband was on one extension, and I was on the other, and she was on the other, and there they were, the two of them, and they were calling me up. And you know what they said? My wife came home, and she was so nice to me that I immediately became suspicious. You know, what's she up to? Well, I suppose that's true. If you're characteristically an unhappy, complaining person, and then all of a sudden, and all you can think about is yourself, and then all of a sudden, here is somebody who is concerned about you and wanting to be around you, and he just figured she was putting up a front and she had something up her sleeve. But he became convinced that something had happened, and the thing that she said was that I've come to realize that I've been giving lip service to this Christianity business. You know, most of us can conceal our hostility for a while, but not for very long, and this was her trouble. She was trying to put up a happy front, and she couldn't. She was trying to keep from fighting with her husband, but she couldn't. She was trying to commit her boy unto the Lord, but she was trying to do it by herself. And she simply came to the Lord and confessed her sins to the Lord. I'm an angry, impatient, stubborn woman, and would you forgive me? And then she turned to the Lord once she had confessed her sins, and on the basis of this verse in Colossians 1:11, that you can be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joy. And so here is this impatient, quick-tempered, disagreeable lady. All of a sudden, she's comfortable and waiting on Him and happy. And once she told him what she had done, he agreed that, I told him two things. The first thing you got to do is get happy, and the next thing you've got to do is quit fighting with your husband about that boy. See, she figured that he ought to Let's put it the other way. His idea was that if you don't want to lose your kids, that you don't cut off their allowance, you don't take the car away from them, you let them know that you love them, and you go along with them. She says, no, that's not what you do. You cut off his allowance. You take away the car. You don't let him go out. And so you can see how far apart these two people were. And so father was feeding this boy an allowance and furnishing him a car, and you might say subsidizing his wayward life. A lot of parents are doing that today, aren't they? Maybe some of you. We are trying to win the goodwill of our children by making concessions, 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 concessions. Well, these two people had quit fighting about their boy, but they didn't know what to do, and so they called me long distance. Now, mind you, here's a very wealthy man, very successful businessman, a history of good judgment in his business. And so you know that this individual is capable of good judgment. You know, that happens so often when I've noticed this so much lately, where a man and a woman would have a history of good judgment in other areas and not use their judgment when it comes to their children. Time and time again I've seen this happen, where people come to me with children who are in trouble, and I ask them, how did these children get into trouble? Do you mean to tell me that you have approved your daughter going with somebody, for example, who is not a Christian, and now she's engaged to this fellow, and you have permitted this all along? Well, we didn't like it from the beginning, but we didn't want to alienate our daughter. And so we went against our judgment. And we went along with our daughter, hoping that somehow or other something would happen to upset this thing. Now, isn't that amazing? You wouldn't think of running a business that way. When something isn't going properly in a business, you correct it right now. And one of the important parts of a business is that the leader uses his judgment, And he follows his judgment when it comes to the business. And the amazing thing that's going on so often nowadays when it comes to our children is parents who decide that we don't like what our child is doing, and therefore we will allow it. That doesn't make any sense, does it? And I would just like to reassure you that you ought to put your faith in your own judgment about your children. Well, now here's a man and his wife. They both agreed that boy shouldn't be in that pad, smoking stuff he shouldn't be smoking, drinking, carousing, but they didn't want to alienate him. And so they disagreed over how to get along. They disagreed over what to do with that boy. Well, I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, we'd like him to be at home. Well, I think that's a good idea. I agree with you. So that's three of us agree that your boy ought to be at home. But what are you calling me for? I mean, there's no argument there. Well, we don't know what to do. Well, now, you're smart enough to run a business. How would you propose to get him? I mean, if you were using your own judgment, how would you propose to get him? He said, well, I suppose I ought to go get him. Now, that's not a bad idea. Why don't you do that? Well, but I don't think I could. I don't think I'm strong enough. Well, okay, probably aren't. Now, if you aren't strong enough to get him, how would you figure you could get him? Well, I suppose I ought to take some people with me. That's not a bad idea. Why don't you do that? Do you really think that that's wise? Well, I don't know any other way, mister, of getting him. Do you? I mean, if you can come up with another way, fine, but I can't think of it any other way. If I were you, that's just what I'd do. I'd get some of my biggest, strongest friends and go get them. You would really do that, would you? Yeah, I would really do that. Now, he said, I believe I'll do that. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that when you get yourself straightened out with the Lord, that you begin to have some confidence, some self-confidence in your own judgment. Now, that fella didn't need that kind of advice from me. But you see, he and his wife, first of all, had come to the Lord. And he acknowledged that he and his wife were fighting, in spite of the fact that the Scriptures say, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. You know, that's a basic principle, that we respect one another. If I understand that, this means a man giving honor to his wife. Women are pretty smart people, aren't they? Sometimes smarter than us, men. And this woman needed to be giving some honor to him. Now, these people were no looking down their noses at each other. These people were disliking each other. They were angry at each other. And this man had to come to God like I did, realizing that when my mother called me, that she didn't put that hostility into me. She just stirred up what was there. When my boss would yell at me, he didn't put that hostility into me. He just stirred up what was there. And when this man's wife and he would start to discuss that boy, she didn't put that anger into him. She just stirred up what was there. And he came to God and asked God to help him. Now, if you want some self-control, it's not that hard to find it, but you've got to go to the source. And that source is God. And God is the one who gave him a real compassion for his wife. And a joy in his heart. You've got a boy living in a pad, and he's smoking pot, and he's carousing around, and you want to enjoy the day, you're going to have to enjoy it under those circumstances. If you're going to get anywhere with that boy has to realize that somehow or other my folks have tapped a source of joy that my choices don't interrupt. And this lady got that idea in her head. You know, she said, as I was sitting there so disappointed because you wouldn't talk to me anymore, and I went back to my room, the thing that hit me was that Dr. Brandt said that the first thing I've got to do is get happy. She figured that she'd get happy after she got her kids straightened out. She would be happy if her husband quit fighting with her. And she began to realize that the source of joy is God. And she asked God to fill her heart with joy. And if she was going to have her heart full of joy that day, it had to be under these conditions. That her husband had a different viewpoint than she did, and her boy was living in riotous living, and under those conditions, she needed joy. And she needed a compassion for her husband who had a different viewpoint than her. Now, when those two people came together in that spirit, they weren't fighting anymore, and their first thought was, let's call Dr. Brandt. And I had what was to me such a almost a juvenile conversation with them. Well, anyway, that fellow got together two carloads of his buddies. And they took off and they went to this apartment house. And they all ran into that apartment house and they pounced on his kid. And they grabbed him and marched him to the car and drove him home. I don't know any other way of getting a home to you. But I'd say that any father that wants his son home bad enough can figure out a way to get him home. Of course, now the next problem is, how do you keep him home? But I'll tell you, that was one startled kid when all those people showed up and they pounced on him. And there he was at home. Then I get another phone call, and here's this man on a line, and his wife is on the extension. Our boy is home, but he's smoking pot at home. Now what'll we do? Oh, I said, well, what have you been thinking about doing? Well, he said, I'm afraid of what I've been thinking. He said, I've been thinking that if this wasn't my son, if this was somebody else's kid, I think I'd call the police. Well, now, you wouldn't want to call the police if it was your own kid, would you? Well, he said, that's what I've been thinking. My son is breaking the law. Well, then why don't you do it? What? Well, that's what you're thinking, isn't it? I mean, you're a smart man. Your judgment's pretty good, isn't it? Why don't you do that? He said, I've been thinking that I ought to give him fair warning, and if he doesn't listen, I ought to call the police. He said, do you really mean that I ought to do that? Well, you know, I'm on the other end of the phone. I'm getting scared myself. But I said, if I were you, I'd follow my judgment. I'd give him fair warning, and you see what happens. Well, you know, it wasn't long, and the phone rang again. And here was this fellow on the line, his wife's on the extension. He said, I gave my son a warning, and he was smoking pot anyway, and so I called the police, and they came and got him and put him in jail. Now my problem is that my whole neighborhood is down on me. You know, the parents of these other kids around are saying, what kind of a father are you? What could you be thinking about? Don't you care at all about your son? Imagine a father doing that to his son. Well, you know, I think maybe nowadays, if you do the right thing by your children, that there is a lot of your friends going to wonder about you. All around you, there are children who have privileges that they shouldn't have, and your children want those same privileges, and you're struggling with your own judgment. Right? So I asked him again, did you do a bad thing? He said, no, I can't feel that I did a bad thing. Well, if you did a good thing, is it you mean you did a good thing? Well, I think I did the right thing. Well, if you did the right thing, then it seems to me you ought to feel right. But you know something? All I could do is reassure these people. But they were now putting their trust in the Lord, and they were putting their trust in their own judgment by faith. What a change in those people, huh? As they cleansed their own lives, they were becoming more sure of their own judgment. And I think this is one of the results of dealing with yourself. You see, she quit blaming everybody but herself for her own hostility, and so did he. They quit blaming each other because they were fighting with each other. And each of them came to the Lord as repentant sinners and asked for cleansing. And then asked the Lord to fill them with patience and long-suffering with joy. And they were patiently and happily and persistently dealing with that boy. And you know what happened to that boy? He was sitting there in jail. And he got to reminiscing in that jail. My father went to all the trouble of dragging me home. And my father went to all the trouble of seeing to it that I land in here. Because of what I was doing, and what I was doing is wrong. And my father was concerned enough about me being wrong so that he did what was right in order for me to cut out doing what I was wrong. How about that? Now this boy thought that through, sitting there in jail. And he concluded that my father is right. And, you know, he asked for a Bible. And he began reading that Bible. And he became a Christian in that cell. And when this thing came up to court, can you imagine? Here's a father stepping up to the judge. And this is the father who saw to it that his son got put there. You know, if you don't do what you ought to do by your children when they're little, and you wait to deal with your children until they're 17 or 18, you're going to have to do some pretty drastic stuff. And that's what this man had to do. You see, he just let this child run. He subsidized this child's waywardness. He even made it possible for this child to... He protected this child. He stuck up for this child. He took on mother who sensed that this was wrong. Well, when you let things go that long, you got to take some pretty drastic measures. And I say to you, if you've got small children, this is no time for you to be nursing your grudges and fighting with your partner. This is a time for you and your partner to be getting together on what's best for your children. And the younger they are, the more chance you've got to learn to use your judgment and work together. You see, it takes 17 years to grow a 17-year-old. It doesn't happen overnight. And so this man, when he got himself straightened out, he had sense enough to do what he had to do. Now, he didn't have to get into that, I don't believe, if he'd have, and his wife would have dealt with themselves a long time ago and gotten together on what's best for their children a long time ago. I don't think they'd have had problems like that. But anyway, here they were. And they stepped up to the judge's desk. And the judge said that I'm going to parole this boy in the custody of his father. How about that? So I get another phone call. And you know what they said? They said, and now there was a, these people had a great big house, so now there was another one on the extension. That was the kid. Three of them. Father, mother, and the boy. And they called me up to let the boy tell me that he had decided to go to Florida Bible College. And you know that kid, well, we had a family life conference in that church a couple of years ago. Mind you now, this is 1972. This is now 1975. And during that family life conference, this man and his wife and the boy came up to me and reminded me who they were and reminded me that they had done, they'd gotten themselves straightened out, and they found the source of self-control. And what is the source of self-control? Coming to the Lord as a repentant sinner and confessing their sins and letting the Lord cleanse them from their sins and yielding themselves to the Spirit of God. And those are the kind of people that are predictable. Those are the kind of people that can count on walking joyfully and patiently day by day, no matter what it is that comes up in life. And those are the people that can trust their judgment. And these are the people that did those drastic things, seem drastic, for their boy. And he was reporting to me that he had finished his first semester in Florida Bible College. Well, now, every once in a while, I hear from those people. And the last I heard, this fellow had finished his second year at Florida Bible College. I think that's an exciting story, don't you? Now, I hope that there aren't people in this room writing those kinds of stories, where you are making decisions on the behalf of your children that are not good decisions, and you know they aren't. But the reason that you are allowing your children to go the way they're going is because you and your wife are fighting with each other and you can't get together on what you're going to let your children do. Now, if your children are small and you do things the way you please when your husband is gone and he does things the way he pleases when you're gone, and when the two of you are there, isn't quite sure what's going to happen, it seems to me that we ought to realize that that's a sinful way of life. When we've committed ourselves to become one, and we steadfastly and consciously and deliberately refuse to become one, are we not practicing sin? And then we find ourselves saying things that we didn't mean to say, and we find ourselves doing things that we didn't mean to do, and we find ourselves allowing things that we really don't think is right. And it's just like the Apostle Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. And if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And yet the Scriptures say that if we will confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He can fill us with His Spirit. Now those are simple conditions, aren't they? Well, I hope that tonight I've given you cause to think upon your own ways. And if we're meeting those conditions, that's sure cause for rejoicing, isn't it? And if we aren't meeting those conditions, the pathway to self-control is to meet them. And it seems to me that the choice is yours.
Amen. Thank you. You're faced with a decision tonight. So am I. That is whether you're going to let the Spirit control your life or self-control. Nothing new about that, is there? Let's take a few moments to examine our own heart, shall we? In a spirit of prayer, meditation, If there has been conflict in your life, bitterness, anger, expressed or harbored, are you willing to face it is the self spirit and not the Holy Spirit? Doubtless, in an audience this large, there are many here who need this message tonight. Instead of blaming others, as Dr. Brand indicated, you need to blame yourself and confess that sin and go to the source for filling and power. Victory comes from God. It's through Jesus Christ. It's not through self. Very clear. As Christians are praying, as you look into your heart tonight, do you have the source within? You know, Jesus doesn't come in where he's not invited. He only comes where he's requested. He knocks at the door of a heart, and he can use the bitterness or animosity or anger that erupts from time to time as a warning to us that we need his entrance. We need his help. I know of no other way to overcome bitterness and hostility, anger, than through the power of Jesus Christ. And if he's not in your life, won't you right now invite him in?